The recent warnings of an increased terrorist threat have rattled nerves and triggered tighter security measures in many cities, among them Boston, where residents are still unnerved by the fact that two of the planes hijacked on September 11th left from their backyard. NPR's Tovia Smith reports.
In many parts of Boston today, it looks a lot like the week after September 11th, with extra security everywhere from Starbucks to the city's many office towers, malls, and hotels. Since the federal government's warning of possible attacks on so-called soft targets, public places are being more vigilant about checking IDs, cars, and bags. Perhaps nowhere more so than Logan Airport. Spokesman Phil Orlandella says the new orange alert has triggered a slew of new security measures, leaving the airport just two steps below where it would be in the event of an all-out war.
You're going to see more state police walking patrols in the terminals. That would include additional canine units. You're going to see more state police vehicle patrols on the roadways, on the curbs, and on the airfield. This will also include a series of roadblocks.
Many Boston-area synagogues and Jewish schools and community centers are doing similar kinds of inspections, and they're scrambling this week to figure out how to relay emergency information that may need to go out on the Sabbath when observant Jews don't use computers, TVs, or phones. Rob Lichen, the New England director of the Anti-Defamation League, says the Jewish community is feeling particularly vulnerable.
For example, people are checking IDs more carefully. Lots of organizations have police that come. There's no question about it that this most recent alert has caused everyone to take a hard look at how we're doing what we're doing and whether we're doing enough.
The president of one Boston-area synagogue who asked not to be named says he's consulting with an Israeli security expert, but he says security was already so beefed up after September 11th, he says we can't think of how to push it any further. Meantime, he says people are extremely anxious. Some are making plans to leave town on the weekend or questioning whether to send their children to nursery school. It's a reflection of concern across the city. Executive recruiter Susan Butterworth is one of many who are heeding government recommendations to prepare for the worst.
I went to Radio Shack and I bought a battery-operated radio, and I actually bought some walkie-talkies so I can communicate with relatives of mine who live within a mile or two of my home in case we need to do that. Then I went and I bought plastic to seal up vents and things if need be, and then I bought a first aid kit. Whether it'll help or not, I don't know, but it can't hurt me to just have these things stored in a corner of my basement.
There's also been a run on bottled water and canned goods. Individuals as well as institutions like universities are stocking up. Bruce Stronach, provost of Becker College in Worcester, Massachusetts, says he's got emergency plans for everything from moving all students into one central location to evacuating the campus. But like many, Stronach says, he's at a loss as to what else he can do.
It is very frustrating to be told by authorities that, all right, there is an increased level of threat, and yet having no idea what that may be, where it might be geographically, and we just don't know what to do, quite frankly.
There's some guesswork going on among public officials as well. Massachusetts Public Safety Secretary Edward Flynn says it's a delicate balance between beefing up security as threats increase and trying to conserve resources for what may be yet to come.
Right now, nationwide, the threat is very generalized, and so it is just not proper stewardship to go out and deploy enormous assets and basically run the risk of burning those assets out before we had a specific threat around which we could exercise greater caution.
But amid all the worry, there are many in Boston, as elsewhere, who shrug off the threats as too large or too vague to worry about. And many said today they hadn't even heard about the government's warnings. But even if they had, they say, they don't believe plastic and duct tape would protect them in case of an attack. Tovia Smith, NPR News, Boston.